family histories can really be fascinating, and often they provide a glimpse of the larger culture and events that are around those individuals. Genevieve Davis has written a really interesting history of her maternal grandmother in Fanny's Viennese Kitchen, is the title. She shares a very personal story, complete with recipes for Austrian treats. Also shares a story of life during wartime, immigration, and keeping a family healthy and happy. And Genevieve Davis, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you, Larry. Thanks a lot for having me here.
Oh, you even brought some treats.
I did.
We'll talk about those in a minute. I can't wait to dig in. Fanny, and the spelling of it's interesting, it's F-A-N-N-I, so
right.
People might automatically say Fanny, but it's Fanny, right?
It's Fanny, but I usually say Fanny just because I'm an American and that's what I'm used to. But you have the pronunciation absolutely perfect, Fanny.
Well, was your maternal grandmother. Well, and you start with, right, really, talking about her early life. Well, that's not quite exactly how you start, but you really get into her early life in Austria.
Yes, she grew up on a farm out in the country about 2 hours north of Vienna by train. And when she was 13 years old, her father took her to a household where she was to keep house for them. So she was a housemaid from age 13 to age 24 when she became engaged to my grandfather.
And came... Well, there's a lot that happened to
there's
that
There's a lot
woman.
That happened in between, right?
Oh, but you got to know your...
I did. I was very lucky to know my grandmother because she was a wonderful person. She was just the best person you'd ever want to meet. Her outlook was so cheerful and so simple and yet so beautiful at the same time.
Well, you write about her with such regard and in such a loving way. It's really fun. It's really... quite nice to read.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it really is. Well, what did she do for that family, by the way, over in Vienna? She just did household work, or
housemaids worked from before dawn until after dusk.
Oh boy!
And so they had a very long day, and she basically, kept house for them. Doing the dishes, doing the washing, and in those days that was a lot of work. You had to heat up the water and so forth, and keeping the house clean. And you might wonder how a gal that was that busy and only had a half a day off a week on Sunday afternoons had time to meet somebody that she wanted to marry.
Yeah.
And the way that she met my grandfather was he was boarding downstairs with a family downstairs, and she was upstairs keeping house for this family in a flat upstairs. And so he used to court her at night on a ladder like Romeo and Juliet. And that's how they became engaged.
Upstairs, downstairs.
That's right.
Oh, man, what a lovely story. I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. And there's already, and I need to dig it out, there's a wonderful story on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. There's at least one that I definitely want to share. But you can share your own experience on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. You can, maybe you're of Austrian descent. We'd love to hear about your family story and your family's food. Or maybe you're not of Austrian descent. We'd still love to hear your family story and food. Join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. That we would certainly love to hear from you. And we'll definitely talk about that Facebook comment, which is really, really very cool. How did you come to write the book?
That's a really good question. I have been collecting recipes from my grandmother for a long time, and she's a gal who didn't cook with a recipe, so it was a little hard to collect them. I went through my mom's recipe book, and eventually, I think I've been working on this book for maybe 15 or 20 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Continuously, but just, gathering stuff together. And I realized that there were a lot of recipes that I could reconstruct with my mother, and that my mother and my aunt had codified a lot of recipes, and that means they, made them in volumetric amounts because they're the kind of people that like to cook by a recipe, whereas my grandma was a cook by field person.
Yeah.
I also got some recipes from my cousins in Vienna, and they cook by weight. So those recipes had to be translated by me into volumetric measurements and then tested in the kitchen.
Oh, my goodness. You know, my grandma Mueller was cooked by Feel, too, and she made the best bread. She baked the best bread. And my brother, in particular, took that on as a task to try and duplicate my grandmother's bread. And we've never been able to do it.
Wow. Well, you know, sometimes you'll have the same person working with the same recipe and you get completely different results. Now, these plum dumplings that I brought you are, they smell awfully good.
Yes, they do.
And that's actually just how my grandmother made them. And I worked very hard on that recipe because other people in the family tried to make it. And Grandma was like a cook by feel gal, so I was like, well, Grandma, how much flour goes in there? Oh, you know, about a cup. And it was like 4 cups of flour. You know, so you put these dumplings in the water to boil them and they fall apart, you know, if you don't have 4 cups of flour in there. And you have to be able to work with the dough, work by feel. And the plum dumplings that I made for you are not made with plums, but with blueberries and raspberries because it's really hard. You can't get Italian prune plums at this time of year. They only come in the fall. And you can get these big monster plums from like that are grown in South America. And they're sprayed with who knows what. And they just look so scary. You know, I was like, I'm not going to, not making plum dumplings out of this.
Well, I tell you what, I'm looking forward to digging in. And here's that Facebook, Judith got this up for me. Thanks, Judith. Facebook comment from Chris, who said, the first time I made lasagna was with my Austrian grandmother. Mm-hmm. And we used an old metal meat drawer from the refrigerator, the old refrigerators, the drawers were all metal.
Right.
And used it because it was the right size. It was exactly the right size. So that's the one they used. Many years later, she says, I still have that pan and I still use it for lasagna. And I think of my grandma every single time.
That's wonderful.
Isn't that a great story?
It's wonderful. And, you know, you don't have to have, like, a Martha Stewart kitchen to be able to make this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, and there are so many good recipes in there. We'll certainly get into those and talk about the recipes themselves. But the history of it really, your grandmother's history is really fascinating, and it really adds a lot to the book itself, to the recipes.
I think so. And what really impressed me was that she had a milk store in Vienna when she was a young married woman. She had inherited a little bit of money from a relative, and I can't imagine like who this was, because maybe it was a godparent, because mm-hmm. she was about the seventh or eighth child in a big family. So anyway, she 50 years later, she explained to me, my husband bought me the milk store. I never saw the check. And the reason that she said it like that was because he had gambled away the deed to the store.
Oh.
And you know, like he had a friend that he would walk through fire for, and she wound up losing the store. But until she lost the store, she was selling milk and bread and sweets, and also probably making topfen, which I have a recipe for in the book, which is a kind of sweet, it's a kind of cultured milk cheese. In English, it's called quark. Nobody's ever heard of it. But
no.
And I made it by clabbering buttermilk overnight in the oven. Turn the oven to 150, turn it off, put the buttermilk in a bowl in there, and then it clabbers, which means it separates, and then you put it in a sieve with you know, like a cheesecloth underneath, and you let the whey drip out, or you catch the whey and drink it or do something else with it, and then you take that cheese and it becomes cheese, but mm-hmm. it's a very soft cheese, and you mix it half and half with slightly sweetened whipped cream, and that's what's on top of...
Well, that's what's on your cover.
Yeah, what's on the cover of my book.
Oh, look at that. That is... And it's beautiful.
It's beautiful, and this was something that my cousin made for me. This is a picture of one I made, but my cousin made this for us when we were in Vienna, and it was just fabulous.
Oh.
And it's my brother said, so how long did it take you to make that? And I'm like, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours. He's like, 3 or 4 hours? I'm like... Yeah, well, you can't make a really good Austrian dessert in under 3 or 4 hours, so that's that.
Well, I want to give our listeners, you know, do you have some Austrian in your blood? And do you make some of those recipes, we would love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. Genevieve Davis, our guest today, author of Fonny's Viennese Kitchen, a great story about her grandmother and her life, and partly told through the recipes. I don't know how many recipes you have in that book.
I think about 50.
Yeah, there's a ton of recipes in there, and a lot of them. I'm thinking, gosh, I gotta. That sounds like something I want to try. And there are some pretty simple. A lot of them are very straightforward, and frankly, don't involve a lot of. Should we say exotic?
No, it doesn't. In fact, she kept her family fed during the Depression with Mehlspeise, which is things that you can make with a little flour, a little milk, a little egg. And I gave you a recipe that's on the, I believe it's on the webpage.
Yes.
For crepes, or which are also called Palatschinken or Omeletten in German. And these are just, you know, crepes that she made. She made them for me, but she kept her family fed during the Depression with lunch that she just made out of a little flour and milk and egg, like the omeletten. And the flour came from Uncle Herman, who was her boarder. And this is how they made ends meet. You know, she had a boarder. He got commodities because he didn't know properties, so he would go once a month with the Red Coaster wagon, and he would bring, you know, sacks of flour and stuff back, and he would give it to Fonny, and she would make, you know, meals out of it.
Oh, and I thought that was such an interesting story about Herman, because Herman comes during that Depression, but then he hangs around for quite a while.
Yeah, Uncle Herman was her boarder, and he became part of the family.
Yeah, he really wasn't, but he was called Uncle Herman, but he wasn't an uncle,
An uncle, and he had to move out for about a year when my mother was an engaged woman because my grandmother wanted my mom to have her own room for a while.
So she said, Herman, you got to get out of here.
Right. So he left for like a year or two, and then he moved back in and until he died.
He was there for 30 years.
I
are there about
40 years?
40 years.
Yeah, from 1920 to 1960 something.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my gosh! I tell you what, that is such a wonderful story, and one of many. I mean, she lived through some really interesting times.
She did.
Going back to the war. I mean,
right. She talked about World War I and how she had to stand in bread lines and coal lines so she could get a crust of bread or a lump of coal, and it was very difficult for her. And she lost one of her children because there were no doctors in Vienna, and he got some kind of flu, and he died. And the doctors were all at the front.
Yeah, all working somewhere,
in the war. Exactly.
Well, I tell you what, Lisa in Monona is up, but we have take a quick look at the news and weather and find out what else is in store for us here on The Ideas Net. Then we'll be back with Lisa from Monona and also with our guest, Genevieve Davis, right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. News next. We'll be back. I'm betting that if I say to you, think of your grandmother's cooking, something's going to immediately come to mind. If you're Italian, maybe it's a big pan of manicotti. Or if you're Polish, maybe it's, I don't know, could be anything, Polish sausages. If you have Austrian in your background, I'm betting that there are some pastries in your past. Larry Mueller here. Thank you for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Genevieve Davis is the author, artist, and film director. That's what she does. And her book, Fonny's Viennese Kitchen, tells the story of her maternal grandmother. And it's a collection of authentic Austrian recipes, but also a collection of stories of immigrant life in America, showing how Fonny met some of the challenges of the Great Depression with her cooking skills. And Genevieve, thank you again for spending time with us today.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. You can join in, too. We had a great Facebook comment earlier from Chris. You could send one in, too. As Chris talked about her Austrian grandmother, the number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Lisa's been waiting a long time for Monona, so let's go to her, and then you and I will talk some more about some other things, too. Lisa, hi.
Hi there. I've been enjoying listening to the program, and particularly enjoyed hearing about the challenges of passing along recipes especially when somebody cooked by hand.
Yes.
I enjoyed that. But it reminded me of a quick old story from my family. In my mother's generation, there was a family recipe mystery, or, well, recipe. Pot roast was kind of a big deal in my family. And on my mother's side, there was a very special way to do it. You know, you would season it just so, and you'd get the particular cut of roast. And you'd cook it in this big old granite enamel roaster in the oven, mm-hmm. and all this stuff. But there was always this mystery of, why did they do it that way? They would cut the ends off the roast and arrange it a particular way in the roaster, and no one really ever knew the origin of why they did that. Oh, you know, that's the way my mother always did it. You know, that's the way grandma always did it. But after a lot of asking around, it turned out that one of my grandma's cousins or somebody, that the reason they would cut the ends off was simply because way back then that was all the bigger of a vessel they had.
Yeah.
So, you know, people continued to cut off the ends, you know, when they had eventually a larger roaster. But I've been told it's an old family history, but it also sounds almost like an old urban legend. But I thought that was a very amusing way for a recipe to pass along, even though you didn't always know why they did it that way.
That's funny.
And it probably didn't really matter in that case.
Oh, that's a great story, Lisa. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. Great story, isn't it, Genevieve?
Yeah, that's nice.
Oh, man. And you obviously have a lot of great stories to tell about your grandmother, and you do a wonderful job of it in your book. You know, and they left Austria and landed eventually in Phillips, Wisconsin.
Right. They left Austria because World War I devastated the country, because it had been part of this huge Austro-Hungarian Empire, and Vienna had been the hub of that. And then the supplies dried up during the war to Vienna. And after the war, there were no jobs, there was no food, there was nothing. And my grandfather had a brother in Phillips who was a baker. Mm-hmm. And he said, I will sponsor you if you want to come to America. So he sponsored them, and they went up to Phillips. And my grandfather had an argument with his brother when they got there, because he saw his brother hit his wife, and he didn't like that. Mm. And he spoke up. May have been the older brother, I'm not sure. And so this brother kicked him out, and they had no place to go. They had no money, and they landed in the very best place
they could possibly land, Milwaukee.
They could possibly land for German-speaking people. It's Milwaukee. And so they rebuilt their lives there.
And had a great community of people there, as you describe in the book.
Right. A wonderful community of German-speaking people, German clubs. There was the Wiener Blut, which was the Vienna Blood. It's the name of Johann Strauss Waltz. And they joined that, and they were, you know, president and treasurer of that club for years. And they just really had a great time in Milwaukee, and they fared much better than their relatives fared in Europe, that's for sure.
Oh, that's for sure. Well, you know, your book is titled Fonny's Viennese Kitchen. What was the kitchen like?
Grandma just had this little hallway, really, that had been turned into a kitchen. Her house had been a single-family home, and now she slept in what had been the kitchen. So it was just this little hallway, and somehow, you know, she just made all of this magic come out of it. It's just amazing. I mean, you don't need to have the world's best-equipped kitchen to do that. So she just had a little gas stove and a cupboard that Grandpa made to keep all of her stuff in, and a metal table. And she had a noodle board.
Yeah, what's this noodle board? This is a really great story, I think, isn't there?
Yeah, she had a noodle board that she used to make the apple strudel on. So she would put a cloth on the noodle board, and then she would roll out the apple strudel dough as far as she could get. And then she would call three other people in the house in to come and help her with it. It could be my mom and Aunt Margie and Grandpa. And they would all, like, take an end, and they would very carefully tease out this dough until it became like about 4 by 5 feet, which was the size of the noodle board, which was on top of the metal table. And when I made apple strudel, I didn't do that. I I made it myself in my kitchen with a little counter, and I just rubbed a lot of butter on the dough, and it just stretched, and I could read a newspaper through it. It was just amazing. So if you look at the directions that I have in there for apple strudel, it won't be so intimidating.
Oh, well, and you have some great recipes. Are you have favorites in there?
Yeah, plum dumplings.
You brought me these dumplings, which are unbelievably good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Judith posted, I think has posted up on our Facebook page, a photo of my plum dumplings. And they're sitting on one of your grandmother's plates.
That's right. These are plates that my mom and my aunt got at the movies in the Depression. They would have movie, you know, plate mm-hmm. night where they would give out plates. So this was their, and I'm sorry it's broken, but it's the last luncheon plate I have.
Oh, man. I think it's wonderful. And I'm looking at the design, and it looks a little like the design of a set that my grandmother
right.
had.
Poppy plates.
And I know they would go to the movies on plate night, my grandma, yep. you know, because she got a whole set of plates.
Yeah, right.
Every,
that's how they did
it. Was it Wednesday night, I think, or something?
Yeah.
She'd say they'd go. Oh, my gosh. Well, there was always a big family dinner on the weekend, wasn't there?
And there was.
Describe what that was like.
Well, Sunday dinner, when I was a kid...
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Well, when I was a kid, we would all get in the car. We lived in the suburbs, and we would drive down to Grandma's house, and, you know, we'd smell all this incredible food coming out of the kitchen, and all the women would be busy in the kitchen. And when we were little kids, you know, we'd be playing, and the men would be talking, and then all of a sudden this incredible array of food, you know, would go on the table. And usually it was like a baked chicken, which was a big deal for people who went through the Depression without a lot of meat. And there was a baked chicken, and then there'd be several vegetable dishes, and always there was toasted butter breadcrumbs mm-hmm. on top of the vegetables, and maybe a little salad, which was in those days was iceberg lettuce.
Yeah.
And for me, she would sprinkle that with sugar because I was a little kid. And then for dessert, we would have a cake from Heinemann's, which was, Grandma didn't bake cakes. Sometimes she baked cakes, but it was much easier just to get it from the bakery. And so we'd have this beautiful cake in this pretty box, you know, with a bow on it and stuff. And then I would go in the kitchen with Grandma, and I would, like, forever would operate this hand egg beater to whip the cream that went on top of the Jello.
Oh, my gosh. So that sounds like so much fun. And thinking about Fonny again, she... And this goes back a little bit, but she didn't just cook for the family. She also helped support the family, did she not, with her cooking?
not with her cooking, but she did. She cleaned houses in America,
right.
And she also took in laundry.
That's right.
And she kept her family fed with her cooking skills, and then she also had the boarder, Herman, and she had a renter upstairs. They had a duplex. And during the Depression, the lady who held their house note wanted them to pay up. I think it might have been a land contract, which you can call in. And so through Grandma's contacts with a doctor that she did laundry for, he told her about the FHA loan program. And so they were able to keep their house.
Oh.
And then later on, when my grandfather had asthma from being mustard gassed in World War I. And so when there was medicine for asthma, this doctor prescribed it for him and then also helped him get a job as a factory worker in Milwaukee.
Oh, so, my goodness. What a wonderful story that was.
Yes, they were very strong people.
Let's talk about Viennese food and the food that she cooked and just Viennese food. What would you say are some of the characteristics that set it apart from other cuisines?
Well... marinating the meat is an important component, or softening the meat. There's like in Sauerbraten, you marinate the meat for a couple of days in the refrigerator in like a vinegar brine with, you know, salt, Austrian spices, which are salt and pepper, maybe a little onion. And then she also made Wiener Schnitzel, which is a meat that you pound. And I just made this when I was down in Baton Rouge last month. I made it for my couch surfing host. And you pound it with a wooden mallet. Mm-hmm. And Grandpa made that for her. But this guy actually had a metal meat mallet, you know, with like spikes on the end of it. And you pound it out so that the cutlet is very thin. And Grandma made it out of veal, but they raise veal really inhumanely these days. So I just got some really thin cut sirloin at the, you know, butcher, and it worked out really great. And then you bread it with the buttered, you know, the breadcrumbs and stuff. Breadcrumbs go on everything. And breadcrumbs were actually a way of recycling stale bread. Now we eat stale bread all the time. But back then, if it wasn't baked that day, you didn't eat it unless it had been turned into breadcrumbs or turned into, like, French toast, which was a way to use up stale bread. And it was very a different way of looking at food.
Definitely was. So the meat, often the meat was prepared in that sort of fashion. What about other things from Viennese cooking?
Well, there's different kinds of dough. Like, there's Mürbeteig, which is a dough that's used for Kuchen, which is kind of like a shortbread dough. And then there's also Strudelteig, which is strudel dough. And it's, I described it, you know, you roll it out very thin. And then there's another kind of dough. I forget what the German word is, but it's the dough that's used to make the strawberry cake and also the rum cake in the recipe book. And it's leavened with egg whites. There's no leavening in it. You actually just fold egg whites into a dough that you make from flour and egg yolks and a little milk.
Well, there are so many recipes in the book. I want to talk some more about it, but David's been waiting a bit here from Eastman. David, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello. My grandmother was half Austrian and half Omaha Indian, and she would make the sauerbraten and Hasen Pfeffer, but she also made an alcoholic drink, and I never quite figured out what was in it. I think caraway seeds was in it, but it was called Kümmel. Are you familiar with that?
I am not. My grandfather made wine from grapes in the basement.
But Kümmel, is it? Do you remember how it? How would you spell it, David?
K-U-M-M-E-L.
And it. Oh, Kümmel. That sounds German.
Yeah.
K-U-M-M-E-L. You know, somebody else, stay listening, David, because somebody's almost sure to know. It's an alcoholic drink.
And I think caraway seeds, and it might have, like, brown sugar as a base.
All right, caraway seeds, possibly brown sugar. All right, there are listeners who are listening in, and I'll bet you somebody's reaching for the phone right now. I hope so.
All right.
Thank you. Yeah, stay listening. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions. Or with your, if you've got an answer on that, Kümmel, I think he called it.
I think it's K-U-M-M-E-L, Kümmel.
Kümmel.
Now, my grandfather did make root beer at home.
Yeah, and there's a wonderful photo in your book of your mother. It looks like an ad for, I mean, she's...
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Oh,
well, she was a beautiful young woman, and she's sitting on the fence, and she's holding a glass of his root beer up in the air and just laughing because she's having such a good time drinking it.
Really? I mean, it really does look like right out of a... Well, it is out of a book.
That's your book. My book.
But she was very, very attractive gal and this wonderful smile. Yeah. On her face holding this this root beer.
Yeah, and you know my mom's still around. She's 90 years old.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, that's right. You did. That must have been a fun part of the book, actually, to work with your mom on some of this.
And
the reminiscing that had to have gone on.
She was very helpful coming forth with a lot of recipes from her book or from her recipe file. And then she also, a lot of the stories in there come from my mom.
Oh, well, Judy in Lodi, thank you for calling. Hi.
Mary and your guest. My grandma and my mother were from Germany, and we used to have some of the biggest dinners, I swear, in the world. The food was awesome, and they're both deceased now. But we always had trouble with making spätzle. But we found out if we added club soda to the recipe, they'd come through the presser perfectly.
Hmm. Oh.
And it makes them softer, and they're just, I miss that so much.
So how much would you put in? Just sprinkle it in?
Depending on how much you're going to make. I mean, we always put in like a half a cup, because we always made enough for, like, we would feed in our family about 20 people at a time.
God. Wow.
And I miss it so much. And I've got a lot of her. I gave Judith, your producer, a recipe for butter chews. You've got to have them.
Oh.
I don't know if Larry's made them yet. I doubt it.
No.
Butter shoes?
Yeah, they're butter shoes. It's a Polish dessert, and they're just out of this world.
Oh.
Out of this world. And I think your guest would love having that recipe.
Well, Judy, it is a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for calling. And thanks for the advice on the nonstick spatzel. That's wonderful.
Also, I'd like to know how I can get her book if I can order it by mail.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I should be 30 lashes with a wet noodle for me for not bringing this up yet. How do we get copies of your book?
If you go to my website, www.October7thStudio, that's October 7, the number 7, thstudio.com. You can see Fanny's Vini's Kitchen in the center, and you click on that, and you can buy it there from me, and you can also buy it on Amazon if you buy it from me.
Well, you can get it on Amazon because my daughter can order it for me then.
Right. Right, but if you buy it from me, it helps to support the project a little bit more, but it's your choice.
And again, it's October7studio.com.
Seventh.
Seventh with a TH.
Right, the number 7 with a TH.
And I think we have that up on our Facebook page already. We've got it. If we don't, Judith, as in her usual fashion, will have it up in seconds. So,
I see the plum dumplings are up.
And
there.
The plum dumplings. I tell you what, if you want these plum dumplings, I tell you what, I ate both of those are long gone. I'm telling you what, that picture, right during the news break, the plum dumplings went right down Larry's. Right into Larry's mouth, let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, there's more where that came from. The bag is full of them.
Oh, Lois and Chippewa Falls. So, again, let's go back to that, though. To get your book, October7thStudio.com.
Right.
Can order them on as well on Amazon.
Right, right.
And the title, again, I want to make sure, Fanny's Viennese Kitchen, and Fanny's is F-A-N-N-I apostrophe S.
Right.
Viennese Kitchen, the subtitle, Austrian Recipes, Immigrant Stories.
Right.
It's it's a lot of fun to read. Lois in Chippewa Falls, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi, I'm really excited about your recipe for apple strudel. I have tried so many times to make it, and I always get holes in it. So I'm hoping that with the butter spread on there would help that.
Yes, yes, the butter makes the dough really, really stretchy. And in my book, I just say, you know, if you make holes, don't worry about it because you're going to roll it up. It's not going to show.
Oh.
And I use phyllo leaves instead.
Yes.
Just because it's easier, and
yes.
But it's not the same.
Right.
And then with Wiener Schnitzel, I wonder if you've ever tried it with chicken breast, because that's the way I do it.
Yes.
Okay,
I have a friend who made it. She's like a gluten-free gal, so she made it with chicken breast, which she pounded with pounded flat with her rolling pin. She didn't have a wooden mallet.
Oh.
And then she breaded
okay.
them in almonds, like almond meal.
Oh.
And egg. And it was really good.
Well, now, when I make schnitzel, I mean, the only way it tastes good is with lard. You know, I know lard
yeah.
is supposed to be out, but really.
No, I'm sure that's how my grandma, I'm sure that's how grandma
yeah.
made it, too. They would keep, like, a can of bacon fat.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they put it on bread.
Yeah.
Other people would get the recipe and they'd say, oh, it didn't taste like yours at all. And she'd say, well, did you use lard? And they're like, well, no. Gotta have lard. Kind of puffs it up. And panko works pretty well for breadcrumbs. So that, because my mother-in-law always used Kaiser rolls and she'd grate them.
Yes,
so
that's what my mom did.
Crumbs. Yeah, that really is very similar to the breadcrumbs. So, and then I also make plum dumplings. So
you
I'm
do.
All excited by your raspberry and blueberry ones.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Lois, you're going to, since we're almost out of time, I got to tell you, you're going to love the book and love the recipes. Thank you so much for calling. I wanted to take a few seconds because we had a caller who called about Kumul. And it's really, several listeners called in. It's really spelled K-U-E-M-M-E-L, and it's a liqueur. So it's a caraway liqueur, and you can buy it today. It's, again, it's spelled K-U-E-M-M-E-L. And it's a caraway liqueur. So that's a mystery solved.
I don't like caraway, but if you like caraway, it sounds great.
Well, I tell you what, I like your book. There's no doubt about that. Thank you so much. And the recipes, we didn't even hardly get to the recipes, but there are 50 of them in there?
Yep.
At least 50 recipes you're going to enjoy of all kinds of Austrian Viennese cooking. And it's a Viennese kitchen and a Viennese gal here with us, Genevieve Davis. She's an author, an artist, and a film director. And her book, again, Fanny's Viennese Kitchen. The author, Genevieve Davis. Go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show for more information about ordering. Thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
And thank you all for listening, and stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.